You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A fancy new acronym has become a major point of discourse on social media. I'm sure some of you have heard of NFTs. They're the hot new blockchain commodity that's supposed to transform the way we trade digital media. But you'd be forgiven if you didn't understand what the hell they're all about and why they have value in the first place. Today I aim to answer that question, but before we can get to that, I fear that I've already left some of you behind. So let's start at the beginning. What is an NFT and why should you care? Well, NFT stands for non-fungible token. That essentially means that each NFT is a one-of-a-kind indicator of ownership. For example, if I posted a picture on Twitter, I could use blockchain, the same technology behind Bitcoin, to create a one-of-a-kind string of code that proves my ownership of that image. Here's where things get complicated, though. By creating an NFT, I don't actually get ownership rights to the image. All I'm getting is a little token that proves I was the first person to get there. Imagine it as putting my flag in the ground before anybody else can. I've staked a claim to that little corner of the internet and I have an NFT to prove it. Get it? This is where NFTs can get their value. Now that I own a token of my post, I can sell it to somebody. A common example I've seen people use is that of a priceless work of art, like the Mona Lisa. Everybody can see the Mona Lisa at the Louvre, but the only people who have the social cachet of owning the Mona Lisa are the people that bought it, namely King Francis I, who is very much dead at the time of writing. But the Mona Lisa is a physical object. Imagine a priceless piece of art on par with the Mona Lisa, but purely digital. Who could possibly own the original? There could be infinite copies, all of which are completely replaceable with one another. In other words, digital images are entirely fungible. See what I'm getting at? An NFT would effectively allow a one-of-a-kind work like the Mona Lisa to exist digitally. Everybody can see it, download it, and share it, but there's only one original. Not every work is the Mona Lisa, though, and people have been making NFTs like crazy. One trend on social media has seen people going around and claiming other people's posts for themselves by creating an NFT before the original author can. And this has sparked quite a few questions about copyright and ownership. I spoke to Alexandra Sims, a professor at the University of Auckland, with a particular research focus on blockchain.
So a major concern that I've seen on social media is the fact that people can create NFTs for social media posts that aren't even their own. What sort of role does copyright play in this sort of scenario? Is it even applicable to something as nebulous as an NFT?
It's a good question. And yes, that's happening. People are taking memes and things, which there's quite clearly copyright in the meme. Yes, there's copyright issues there. It's unlikely that you just by buying that NFT will actually be infringing copyright, because what's actually being stored, it's not the image on the blockchain. You're not sort of storing that actual image there. You just got the sort of a hash of it. But the thing is, if you go and you want to display it, for example, you say, oh, I own this NFT and I'm going to display it on my, you know, my computer screen in my office or something. Well, that is actually, that would be infringing copyright because you're showing it in public. So effectively what you've bought there is something worthless. So you just got to be really, really careful that you buy it from, that it's not infringing copyright in the first place. But even if you do buy something that is by an artist, so I recognise artists, yes, they created it. Well, they might say, well, you know, you're going to buy a one-off or one of 10. And then what they might do is actually make one of 500 and sell them. So in which case, your NFT would not be as worth as much as if it was just a one-off or one of 10.
As Alex pointed out, there's a very real chance of an NFT being completely worthless. As I said, not every work is the Mona Lisa, and there's no real point in owning an NFT of some random person's Instagram story. But people are creating them at a significant rate, all racing to be the next one to get that golden goose, that viral video, the next big meme. There's also an issue of dilution. An NFT doesn't necessarily have to be traded in one big chunk. It can be split into fractions in a very similar way to a Bitcoin. So when does an NFT lose its value? Is it really that exciting to own a 3% share in the Mona Lisa? I asked Alex about this strange value instability that we're facing with the NFT market.
You could be buying an NFT that someone has ripped off somebody else. they've just taken a meme or something that belongs to some copyright work that belongs to someone else, and they've done that. It could be that you've bought you think you're buying a one-off, and in fact the artist creates other ones, because all they actually need to do is change like one pixel in it, and that's, you know, a new work, but under copyright it would still be infringing. So those two things, they happen anyway in the real world. So an artist could say, well, you know, I've got this artwork and sell it to you, and then they recreate the same one and sell it to somebody else. So there's no difference. Another thing, as I said, they're not all created equal, is that some of these NFTs are being created on a platform. And so you go onto the platform and you get your, you know, you buy your NFT, but it's only through that platform. And so if that platform falls over for any reason, that might be it. It might be gone. So you've actually got to, you know, to be careful. Most of the ones, though, that are done on Ethereum, the blockchain, those ones tend to be, they might be on a platform, but at least they're on a public blockchain rather than something else. So they might be a bit better in that regard. But I think with this whole area is there's been this sudden, you know, all this excitement and things. A lot of people are creating not particularly good things, and people are buying for stupid money. And a lot of those things will just end up being worthless. So whereas some of them might actually have some value, so I think people just need to be very, very careful about if they're going to put any money into this thinking, oh, I'm going to make a whole lot of money out of it.
Yeah, so from the sounds of it, there's quite a significant risk to the layman. So for those people, can you see NFTs playing any sort of significant role in future economic stuff? Is this a thing that will completely transform how we commodify the internet, or is this just some sort of phase?
No, I think it will be something that will have lasting ramifications, because one of the issues we've got with, say, just artwork at the moment is the problem of provenance. So how do you prove that this was actually done, this work was done by somebody? So what you can do with an NFT is actually have a physical piece of work and have an NFT created at the same time that can prove the provenance of it, that it was actually created by the people. So that's, you know, that's really, really beneficial, because there's lots of forgeries of things all of the time. Another thing, though, is with NFTs are a lot wider. I think I mentioned that at the beginning. So the Kings of Leon did an NFT recently, or it's still being sold, where if you bought that NFT, you would have rights to go to any of their concerts and be at the front seat every time in the front of it. So, you know, you can. So it's not just necessarily a sort of bit of digital art or something. It can be like the right to use something. And they're also being used by, I think, Taco Bell have done some NFTs for like promotional activities. In fact, a toilet paper company also in the United Kingdom has done that. So, you know, celebrities are doing it all. And so there's lots of different uses. So they're certainly not confined to digital art.
Perhaps the biggest concerns with NFTs and cryptocurrency in general is the environmental cost. Areas with cheap electricity, such as Washington State, are home to facilities containing hundreds, even thousands of computers, all of which are mining for cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin are distributed as rewards for completing calculations necessary to run that specific blockchain. Okay, this is where a lot of people start to lose track, so I'll try to be as clear as possible. A blockchain isn't just a cryptocurrency thing. In fact, cryptocurrencies more so act as an incentive to get people to donate their processing power to a massive cloud computing network, which, if you don't follow, is what a blockchain is. Blockchains are applicable to all sorts of tasks, including healthcare, banking, trading, etc., on top of maintaining a ledger for their attached cryptocurrency. This is to say that maintaining a blockchain involves a lot of computing power, and that doesn't come from nowhere. Various companies have created these big computing facilities as a means of obtaining cryptocurrency, and they suck up power like nobody's business. A lot of this electricity comes from unsustainable sources such as coal, and thus blockchains have a significant environmental cost.
Now, of course, we can't talk about blockchain or cryptocurrency without addressing one of the primary concerns, which is the massive usage of electricity that is applied to their creation. What sort of scale are we looking at here? Because I've seen pictures of massive fleets of computers and huge facilities. Is that sort of practice common in the world of crypto?
Yes, for some of the blockchains. So there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different blockchains. And so the ones that people are most familiar with would be Bitcoin, for example, and also Ethereum. So Ethereum is what, as I said before, a lot of these NFTs are being made on. And yes, they do use a lot of electricity for those ones, because people are sort of competing to mine blocks, which keeps the whole system secure. And the more people you have, the harder the problem gets that people have to solve. But I know with Ethereum, for example, they're working on a system where you wouldn't need to use that. So it's instead of what we call proof of work for blockchain Ethereum, it'll be called proof of stake, which is a different system. So you don't need to do it.
There, Alex mentioned something called proof of stake. The current system for how cryptocurrencies are distributed is based on something called proof of work. The way that this works is that out of everybody who contributes to solving a certain problem, the quote-unquote winner is determined by who contributed the most powerful hardware, and then they get the Bitcoin. This effectively means that miners are encouraged to go as big as possible and have the beefiest facilities they can afford, which, as you can imagine, isn't great for the environment. This proof of stake model, on the other hand, assigns stakes based on hardware, but the winner is determined by a lucky draw. Think of it as a raffle where better hardware gives you more entries, but doesn't necessarily guarantee a win. This model aims to reduce the massive electrical costs by lowering the hardware incentive. This is all to say that there are big questions being asked about the sustainability of the cryptocurrency model, and that's the last topic that I got Alex to touch on.
There is a significant concern about how sustainable this would be into the future. If these sorts of cryptocurrencies are going to become the future of how we trade, how can we reach a point where they are sustainable enough to be used in that way, in the same way that we would just use the money that we are used to now?
That's a good question. As I said, people are working on other solutions. So, I mean, the way I describe it is you can think of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency that uses blockchain, and it created the first blockchain. So that's new. It's a bit like having a Model T Ford, okay? So it's a early one, it's reliable, but it's pretty clunky, you know. And now we're up to, Lamborghinis type of thing. So it will change. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I don't know if everyone will be using cryptocurrencies, the decentralized ones. So people that know about this will know that, blockchain and Ethereum is not controlled by any central authority. But almost every single central bank now is looking into releasing its own cryptocurrency. And Facebook as well. Facebook. It's now called Diem, D-I-E-M, is looking to do testing, I think, within a few weeks. And that is not going to be on a public blockchain. So the systems that it runs, can run all around the world, will be on, far less usage than a Google, site with a data center running it all. And also, I think that people just need to be a little bit careful, because the internet itself and doing, say, a Google search and things, that uses a lot of power. So this is, it's not like this is really, really bad. Or even if people are using things like Spotify, if you really like something and you're playing it a lot, it's actually more energy efficient to actually buy. Download it instead of and purchase the whole thing rather than just streaming it the whole time, because that uses up a lot of power. Nothing's ever sort of black and white.
That was Alexandra Sims from the University of Auckland. Thanks for chatting with me, Alex, and thanks to all of you at home for staying awake during this extremely complicated topic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.